This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They could redeem themselves, such as, you know, getting some of the players they got. Obviously, P.J. Haggerty, Dane Dange, and Tyrese Hunter being the foremost among those acquisitions. But, you know, then you would have other things like the anonymous letter and the coaching staff firings and the Tyreek Smith leaving, what, the day before the season started or
yeah.
Something like that. You know, there'd be these things that made you feel like, you know, this season may be another bumpy ride. But but once I got into it and then once they went to Maui, it was like, okay, this team has now put everybody on notice that they're for real. And you fast forward to the end of the season and it's like they're Penny. I think the theme for this season from a Penny Hardaway perspective is redemption. And then from like an overall program standpoint, it's about validation. It's or revalidation. I mean, you know, how many times have we said Memphis did this for the first time in over a decade?
Yes.
Like we've said that a bunch this year. And so I think that will probably be the thing that is you know, depending on what happens from now on, that'll be the thing that we kind of, you know, grab a hold of moving forward. That this season was about, from a program standpoint, this season was about sort of revalidating Memphis's, you know, standing in terms of national relevance.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer, for the Commercial Appeal. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a lot of NFL news to get to, a lot of new homes. We've had quarterbacks switching spots. We just had a big trade with an offensive lineman. Lots to get to. We'll do that when we come back on the list right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN. March is here. That means Zen Sports has launched a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. This time, they've launched the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. Also, 20 small prize winners will earn either a $100 bonus bet on the championship game or $50 cash. All entries on every bet placed in March, every dollar bet in March, and you can also earn 10 times the entries on all parlay wagers throughout the month of March. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. NCAA baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they offer multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See the full terms over at Zen Sports on the app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to wager. Let's get into the list. NFL free agency? All right, Herd, the most important thing, at least that I think happened this weekend was, despite saying it wasn't just about the money, that it's really the way that the team operates, all of a sudden it was just about the money for Myles Garrett. But most importantly for me, we kept the Eagles from getting Myles Garrett. And like, that's all that matters to me. Like, he got his money. He's going to be the number one paid non-quarterback. I think still true, right?
Yeah, about times.
George Wright, is that right? Highest paid non-quarterback still?
I believe that's the case. It was between him and Crosby after his extension.
Crosby was the highest paid non-quarterback for like 72 hours.
Yeah, like a couple days.
No, it's him now.
Correct. So now it's Myles Garrett. But just the thought of the Eagles having the ability to trade for Myles Garrett, now that that's taken off my plate, I'm like, win.
Yeah. We went finna watch no, look at no Mad 99 where we just blitzing the NFL blitz. You know what's kind of shocking to me was a lot of the reporters this morning was very hard on him. And I do get it in one hand, but in another hand, it's like, as mad as he is, who's not going to sign that contract? Though?
So
I get, you know, he said it ain't about this or that. But
right. I think what they're mad at is not that he re-signed with the Browns. It's that him and his camp were adamant that he was not going to sign no matter what the dollar figure was. And what I find annoying, not from a Myles Garrett, not from the reporter, this is a general opinion. We're negotiating way much through the media, way too much now through the media. It's like everything has just become a negotiation, and all right, that's to apply pressure to the Browns. Like, you want to keep Myles Garrett, you've got to make him this kind of offer, which I would just be curious to know. Does Myles not get this offer if he doesn't say publicly, and I guess he didn't technically say it, but his camp doesn't publicly say all the things that he did about the Browns?
I think he's a competitor. I think he's a guy that wants to win a championship. But, Jeffrey, I'm going to say this. I turn down events all the time. I turn camps down all the time if I don't feel like it meets my standard, right? I live in Memphis. I'm not a crazy money guy, right? But with that being said, Jeffrey, I also watch Crime Files and a lot of other shows where people are doing pretty dangerous things to family members for money. So for you to think that a guy that just got offered the number one, the highest paid contract outside of a quarterback, Jeffrey, I think in most cases, even with a guy with the most integrity, I mean, I think your enemy can bring you this contract and you're probably going to sign it. Like, I was going to make another another scenario that I shouldn't make on air, but anyway, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's like, it was like when the golf guys went to live. Like,
yeah,
it's Saudi money. Yeah, they said here's $150 million guaranteed. You don't even have to hit a golf shot. Yeah, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, because and I will say this. It's, and, you know, people say they sold out in it. Listen, you got regular money, but when people start getting to what they did for $150 million, you know, at that point, no matter what my standards are in life, unless we're not talking about killing nobody or raping nobody, but outside of that, I at least want to hear you out. I was a vegetarian, but now you saying, you know, I got to eat a few steaks and chickens for $100 million. I start thinking, chicken not so bad overall. They actually don't kill them in a harsh way. You know,
that's why we lost Joey Chestnut at the hot dog eating contest. He signed a deal with one of those, like, Beyond Meat or whatever, like the fake meat companies. And because the hot dog eating contest has a deal with Nathan's, like, he was in competition. Like, they weren't going to put a competing brand up against him. And so that's why we lost.
He gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that was good for his health, too, because he needed some more
help. I'm going to say a lot that he does is not good for his health. But, but I mean, to your point, this is why I used to always love Zach Greinke. Like, Zach Greinke said, if they'd pay me $200 million to pitch on the moon, I'm going to go pitch on the moon.
No, for sure.
If it's like, I agree with that.
yeah, it's legal. So, I mean, the way they was on, man, I get it. As a media guy, you were probably irritated by his camp. But my thing is, Browns did what they had to do. First of all, Browns said we're not trading them anyway. So it ain't like the Browns ever. I know you say you had been hearing stuff through Eagles and other reporters said that, but the Browns said they wasn't trading them. You know.
But that was the problem. I thought that was just a public negotiation.
Oh, okay.
You say
oh,
we're
yeah,
not...
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I compare this to Kirk Cousins. The Falcons have said they're not paying... or they're not trading Kirk Cousins. They're happy with him being a backup. I firmly believe they're trading Kirk Cousins or cutting Kirk Cousins and letting him sign.
Yeah, he's getting paid too much money.
You're not going to have a $100 million backup.
No. But the Browns, I think, did the smart thing. Now, on the flip side, let me ask you this, Jeff. From researching and the different reporters, they almost feel like Myles Garrett won because they feel like because of what they gave Deshaun, that the roster is so depleted, they actually would have took a bunch of boatload of picks and players for him. That's what some people were saying. They probably wouldn't have went this route with it.
I don't know how you look at the situation and come to the conclusion that Myles Garrett didn't win.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid non-quarterback. He's got most of this money guaranteed.
Yes.
And yeah, to your point, like, it probably would have made more sense for the Browns to trade Myles Garrett, get, I don't know, at least three first, right?
Yeah, I was saying, and even players and stuff.
I mean, how many times does somebody like Myles Garrett hit the market?
Never. You've been like Luka, right? Except you got your value.
Yeah, and the other difference is, like, the NFL seems to value draft picks.
They do.
Like, so, yes, that because that's the other thing. Deshaun's, I don't even, like, Deshaun, they're going to have the highest paid guaranteed offensive player and defensive player, although I think maybe now.
Josh Allen.
But I want to say Dak, maybe, in terms of guaranteed per year, Dak's the highest.
It's something like that. I know, like, Deshaun's weird, not anymore.
Yeah, Deshaun's not. The thing is that Deshaun still has the first ever fully guaranteed contract.
Yes.
But this is what's crazy. Everybody, they didn't even want to give Lamar Jackson. I think he was around what the Cardinals quarterback was around 180, 190. They were saying, we're not going to give you 170. We're not going to give you, because Deshaun was 230.
I still blame Lamar for not having an agent. If Lamar would have had an agent, that would have gotten done.
It would have got done. So, Deshaun Watson was 230. Now, this is crazy. Josh Allen, as I read wrong, has 250 guaranteed, and that's not even the whole contract. It's three something. Is it 250 guaranteed or I'm off?
No, I think it's 250 guaranteed. They announced it as $330 million. This is the other thing that's driving me insane today. I know the cap has gone up.
Oh.
But what is happening is they've turned this, I guess the NFL was like, we want the NBA, we want the free agency frenzy, and we want them talking about us. And so they've turned this into a massive free agency day where everybody's reporting, but everyone's going to be getting the numbers from the agents. So all these numbers are getting thrown out insanely high. I do think the Bills, though, one, I actually kind of like it. And the reason why I like it is, all right, we know Josh is our guy. I think he had 4 years left.
Yeah, it was. He had a couple years left on his current contract. This isn't even as much an extension as in, like, they're buying a couple more years.
They ripped up the contract, basically, and said, we're giving you a bunch of money now, because they also know this. The cap's going to keep going up. Mm. We're adding more international games. We're adding all this revenue. The cap's just going to keep going up and up and up. And so they go, screw it. Rip it up. Here you go, Josh. Here's a bunch more money now. That also gave him a little bit of cap room. I mean, it wasn't like it gave them $50 million, but it gave them a little bit of cap room. But this was always my big problem. I'm a big Cardinals baseball fan. And once upon a time when we had Pujols, and eventually Pujols goes to the Angels, my problem was they had him locked in, like, on this unbelievably cheap deal where they were paying him like $17 million when he could have been worth, you know, $30 million. Rip up the deal when he's 27, give him a new deal, keep him. And so that way, when the Cardinals didn't pay to keep Pujols, from in terms of the contract, I wasn't upset that they didn't pay the contract. Like, that was an insane contract. But you shouldn't have gotten to that point. And that's where I think they're being smart. The longer you wait to pay guys, the more and more you're going to have to pay them. And so what the Bills just said was, like, we know Josh is our guy. Rip this up. Everybody's happy. It gives us a little bit more flexibility. And when it keeps going up and going up, it's like, okay, well, we can eventually do that, but we're not going to end up paying the most amount of money, which is the longer you wait, the more you always pay.
No, that's true. And I forgot that the deal went up, because I was like, they was just fussing and not wanting to go over 200. And I just saying 250. I'm like, Bills done took it to a whole nother level this morning. But things are continuing, because somebody getting on Dallas right
now
said Dallas should have been did it with they linemen.
Correct. The we're finally out of like the COVID. So the NFL and the NBA to a certain degree also did this as well. They were very cautious in raising the salary cap because of how much money they lost during COVID. And so now it seems like we've kind of gotten through it. Everybody's books seem to be A-okay. And everyone just thinks, like, unless we have another pandemic, like, all right, we're cool. Like, we're just going to keep going up. Okay, the other big moves. So on Friday, can someone explain to me what the Seahawks are doing? Are they blowing it up?
I don't think so. I think the big thing that they really wanted to do was see if they could get maybe not a cheaper quarterback, but just one that fit Clint Kubiak a little bit better since he's coming in. As for the receivers, no telling. I have no clue what they're doing.
So, I have it right? On Friday, they traded Geno.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday, they traded DK because everything's running together. Is that right? That's the order of operations.
You also, in that same mix, they also cut Tyler Lockett.
Correct.
For cap space and a bunch of their other just bits and pieces who most of them have already left as well.
Because the thing that I couldn't figure out is, like, are they blowing it up? But I guess to your point, like, today they make the move of they got Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like what most people think happened, not to cut you off, they basically offered that contract to Geno. And Geno's like, no, I think I can get more. I think it's 3 years, 100-something million, 50 of it was guaranteed.
55 guaranteed.
Yeah, 55 million guaranteed. They basically took the deal Baker got last summer, tacked on $5 million for the cap going up, and that's what they offered him. So it seems like Geno was like, no, I think I can get more. And then they trade Geno, and they basically made the decision of, we think Geno and Sam are kind of the same thing. I don't think that's an unreasonable position to be. I think I'd argue Geno's been a little bit more consistent. I'm still not certain like what Sam Darnold did, if that was a Kevin O'Connell creation. But it's like they made that decision. And then the other thing with the Steelers, people seem to believe that they're pairing George Pickens and DK. But now it seems like most people believe they're replacing George Pickens with DK.
Yeah, they've been going back and forth all morning. I've been hearing different reports.
That would be news to me if they got rid of George Pickens, but
this is what I'm seeing coming across the wire. But again, this all comes back to the same complaint that I've been having, which is this all just a negotiation? Like, I have no idea, because then you now have the quarterback question for the Steelers, because we find out Justin Fields is going to take a two-year deal. Is it 2 years, $30 million guaranteed, 40 mm-hmm. overall?
Yeah.
To go to the Jets. There was a hilarious report yesterday that came out that if Justin Fields didn't pick the Jets, that they would turn to Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota next. I think it was only hilarious if they go to Wentz. I don't think, like, to me, Mariota is, like, that's not that bad of a backup, whatever, filler option. But if they were turning to Carson Wentz, that would have been legitimately hilarious. Like, that is announcing, we are trying to get Arch Manning. Like, that's who we're trying to get. Like, we're trying to lose. With Fields, I don't know. My biggest problem with Fields is I don't know if he's a super processor. Feels like his whole life it's always just been like, throw it here, throw it there. But this makes sense to me. Like, and now you're at the point where, are the Steelers going to, because there was reports early, well, they're comfortable bringing back either Fields or Russ. Why would be my question? And then you get all the reports this morning of, well, now they're turning their attention to Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about my boy Tomlin.
Yeah.
None of these options sound good to me.
No, from what I was looking and researching this morning, they was out on Wilson. They did want, so the three good ESPN guys, football guys.
Field Yates. Obviously Schefter.
Schefter, and what is a bigger one to be on Get Up and stuff?
Tannenbaum, the guy that was the Jets GM, Mike Tannenbaum. Yeah.
So he was a kind of saying, him and Schefter was disagreeing a lot, because Schefter kept saying that the Steelers are back and forth with communication in Dubai with Jets, because they were saying Wilson out. But Tannenbaum was saying, listen, if he was going to sign with the Steelers, that would have been done. And, you know, stuff like, yeah, but I'm still, my people say, he said, no, I've been in this business too long. Justin Fields is a butt hurt how he got put on the bench.
Yeah.
He was winning. He was 4-2. He had more touchdowns than interceptions, and he felt like in any other situations, any other situation, that he could have led that team. And to Mike Tomlin's defense, because he's a Hall of Famer coach, I think being a veteran, he kind of wanted to give a veteran a chance that he knew.
I think he was part of recruiting Russ, and he told Russ he would get a shot.
Yeah.
And then Russ got hurt in training camp, and so they go with Fields because Russ wasn't healthy. And then when Russ got healthy, he said, okay, I told him I'd give him a shot. I'm going to be a man of my word, and gave him a shot.
And he kind of kept it going, and it was until the end it became destruction. So when they took them both, I thought it was like, that was a little tricky anyway. You know, I thought they might have did it for Russ to only play the 1 year. But so Tannenbaum was kind of saying it, and then Fields showed that he was in Dubai. And like everybody knows, it's 2025. If somebody want to talk to you, they could be in Egypt. I got somebody on vacation there right now. They will find ways to communicate, especially for 40,
no, I mean, you can
50,
do,
60
he
million.
He needs Wi-Fi. I will say that the news to me is like, I did not realize athletes, American athletes, were hanging out in Dubai. Like, that's usually, that's what you see, like, the soccer players, like the European soccer. Like, I'm not saying that hanging out in Dubai is bad. It's very nice. Like, it's, but that's not something our athletes do. It's a long way over there.
Yeah, for sure.
That was like, that one kind of took me by surprise.
Most of us don't have Dubai money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if Justin Fields has Dubai money. Like, Justin Fields is not Messi.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like,
well, he knew it was coming. That's why he always, he knew something special.
That check's hitting on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, he got to spend a little more in New York than Pittsburgh. I mean, it's going to be, you know, you save a little more money. But they say Justin Fields is butt hurt. And really, I think Justin Fields was the Steelers' best option. And I'm going to be real. Mike Tomlin is really good. But how Russ performed last year, he did good this year. I don't know if I really come off of somebody that's 100% healthy and 4-2 and was getting better. He lost his first one. So he was like on a 5-game winning streak of 4 out of 5 or something like that. And I don't know if I fully come after that. And Tomlin's a man of his word, but ultimately that cost him both quarterbacks.
And, like, you got to also wonder, it's like, what did the locker room think? And my guess is, usually when you have two kind of meh options, the locker room's not usually united behind one person. It's some guys are like, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Calvin Austin was rooting for Russ. But was everybody rooting for Russ? I mean, if I'm an offensive lineman, I'm probably rooting for Fields because guess what? Like, hey, man, when I'm trying to block Myles Garrett for twice a year, like, it helps when you got Fields who can get outside the pocket, whereas Russ was just like, he can't move like he did.
No, for sure. For sure. And so who did the Vikings get?
Vikings are, I think they are, they want to turn to J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, that's right. That's right. They do.
The question is he going to be physically ready? Because he had a setback with his knee.
Okay.
So the thought is, they have Daniel Jones. They signed Daniel Jones, and they added him to their roster for the playoffs. That also meant that it was going to make it a little bit easier to retain him. So is Daniel Jones their backup option? They want to turn to McCarthy.
And the Giants don't have anybody, right?
The Giants, it seems like, want to turn to Cam Ward.
But now they say y'all have Alfred also, but he wants that to be his last option. What's the guy that just came from the Jets?
Darnold's down in Seattle.
No, the guy that just came from the Jets.
Rodgers.
Nah, I think Rodgers is. It never made sense to me to bring in Rodgers. Like, I don't love it with the Steelers, but I like it more because that's kind of like, what do you want Rodgers to be at this stage? It's like, all right, play good defense and be good enough on offense and hit some deep balls. It's like, okay, that. With the Giants, we're so bad. Like, that just makes no sense.
Yeah, they say Minnesota would be good for Rodgers. They was talking some bit. They say he could probably do Titans and Giants if he won't, but that'd be, he need more talent, they think, at this stage.
Yeah, they're bad. Now, what are the Titans doing?
Cam Ward.
It seems like they want, I think what's happening is the Giants want to trade up, and they're going to trade with the Titans.
I could see that. My thing with the Rodgers thing for the Giants, because, I mean, this is in the same kind of vein of conversation, is the only way to me that it makes any sense is if there has already been a mandate down from ownership saying, hey guys, this is kind of it. Like, if you don't start getting it done for us on the field.
Which they kind of have, but I guess you'd also could look at it this way. All right, if you know your GM and your coach are on thin ice,
mm-hmm.
if you draft the rookie and he shows some optimism, well, all of a sudden it becomes less about wins and losses, but can we get him looking better? And then you sit there and go, hey, rather than having our new quarterback who had a good year, getting him a new staff, whatnot, give him some continuity. Like, that's how you would talk him into it.
Mm.
Like, I could see that one going either way, because most people think, like, all right, if it's a have-to-have-it year, usually that's when you see teams load up on veterans and they just go absolutely balls to the wall to try and be 9-8.
Yeah.
I think you're better off trying to draft the young quarterback and hope it, like, starts to be promising. Because at that point, it's not even about winning and losing. Like, think about how the Patriots feel about Drake May. Like, with Drake, he didn't win a bunch of games, but he was better than you expected, so everyone's still kind of feeling good about it. So then it becomes about wins and losses less, even though I get it, Mayo gets fired, but that basically was like, they just decided we're bringing Vrabel back.
For sure. Do you think anybody should look at like a Steelers program, right? You know, Steelers just really need somebody that can make some high-level passes, because they're going to stay in everything. Do you now? This guy right here makes high level passes both ways, but do you think he's still a chip? Consider Jameis.
I want somebody to take Jameis because it's just fun.
He's the best. He's awesome.
He actually can throw pretty good.
It's
when
just
he's throwing to the same team.
Jameis is the ultimate example of like sometimes quarterback play is not about your best throws. It's about how many bad throws do you have, because Jameis is like we think about that Monday night game against the Broncos. He throws a pick six, and you're like, oh my God, he lost it. Throws right back, comes right back. The next play is like a 75-yard bomb. And you're just like, this is, like, it was 530-something yards. But if you would have included the pick sixes and the returns, like, dude threw for like 700.
No.
And it was awesome.
But what if they do, like, some leads I heard back, and they delete your stuff? He would only had 189 yards.
Yeah, that's... Was the pass caught? Did it hit the ground? Like, guys, somebody give Jameis a chance.
I would say this. I think with Mike Tomlin and that defense and that culture, if, and this is not a religion show, if he do his prayer again and mm-hmm. he is delivered from pick sixes, I think he could be a top 15 quarterback.
He was too specific in his prayer. Like, I do understand. You got to ask the Lord for what you want.
Yeah.
He should not have been delivered from pick sixes. He should have been delivered from picks.
Stop the picks.
Because he stopped the pick sixes.
Yeah.
But he didn't stop the picks.
But I ain't gonna lie, the pick sixes were so vicious. I think you got to start with there. Like, I know I'm going to throw some bad passes.
All right, let's stop the bleeding.
You make the man trip when he do it? Not all the way to the house.
Yeah, so we're like you start there, and then we'll work our way. Like, as we get deeper into our Bible study, we'll work our way into.
Like being a drunk.
Yeah.
Can you take me from hard liquor
Correct.
To beer?
Right. So, can we knock it out? Yeah.
Yeah, we can't just go straight to, I ain't drinking nothing, you know, so.
Right. Laremy Tunsil also traded to the Commanders for picks. So that means now the Commanders have added Debo and Tunsil, and then obviously Lattimore from last year. I feel bad for Bengals fans. Like, you see everybody out there spending money, and the Bengals are just like, yeah, we're just going to keep doing this, which is not adding anyone.
When you were talking about the longer you wait on a guy or multiple guys to give them their paycheck, it just gets more and more expensive. My immediate thought was
T. Higgins,
Cincinnati Bengals, either Trey Hendrickson and or.
Well, I mean, that would be
Higgins.
The most
depressing, what are they doing?
The most depressing story for me, if I were a Bengals fan, would be the moment that the Bengals found out what they paid Max Crosby, they went and told Hendrickson, you can go look for a trade. Because, like, we're not paying that. It's like, wait, what? Like,
ridiculous.
Like, that's your answer? A couple of other locals angles here. The Niners and Patrick Taylor Jr. have agreed to a one-year extension. So shout out to former Tiger Patrick Taylor Jr., and then also former ECS Eagle as well as Tennessee vault Morgan Cox. He's back. The Titans have signed Morgan Cox, deep snapper. Also, of course, a member of Hope Church. So I've known Morgan since I was like five. So that's awesome. He was always big then.
No, congrats.
Anything else free agency-wise we've missed that people want to bring up?
I'm good, other than just the Patriots have been spent. I mean, they've had the money to spend. They have spent all of the money.
Patriots?
Yeah.
It seems like they're spending it all on defense.
One year they spent them all on tight end. So whatever direction they go, it seems like they go.
Yeah.
And you can see where Vrabel's basically said, like, all right, we're beefing up the defense. We're going to put – all Titans fans know exactly what this Patriots year is going to look like. It's going to be a lot of 2017 games.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just going to do your best to try to win as many as possible. Steph Curry. All right, I want to get your thoughts on this, Hurt. Shams announced early this morning, Steph Curry's accepted a role with his alma mater, Davidson, as an assistant general manager for the basketball programs. So I guess men's and women's. University officials told ESPN. Curry becomes the first active player in U.S. major professional sports to take on an administrative job with an NCAA team. In his new role, Curry, who played three seasons at Davidson, will provide guidance to the men's and women's teams based on his college and professional experience. He'll work with general manager Austin Bunce, former Under Armour Global Sports marketing team members. I'm going to guess this is not the first time they've worked with one another since Curry signed with Under Armour in 2013. Also, Curry's wife, Aisha Curry, and longtime Davidson supporters Don, Matt, and Erica Berman will also start an eight-figure fund for both the men's and women's programs. Okay, is this where this is headed? Like, I'm very curious to see how everyone's handling the GM roles. In football, it still feels like we're just going with personnel people, where it's like people that know how to put rosters together. Like, it stayed very football. It does feel like more people are thinking outside the box on basketball. We see Carolina go with Jim Tanner. Longtime agent, super agent. We've seen marketing people move in. And while Steph is, like, not an agent, not marketing guy, it seems like Steph is, like, the guy that's bringing in all the marketing people. And it's like you do this maybe to include Steph Curry to, like, get the name bump. But, like, I mean, is Steph going to be grinding tape going through the portal?
No, I think that what you do is what's smart for Steph, unlike a – Jason Tatum, right? Let me tell you the smart thing. I think you always say we all know we can't own a team, but if you know, you could feel like you own with college. Well, I feel like with the people that Davidson got to go against, Steph Curry and his team can raise enough money for that. Now, if you some kid that graduated from Auburn, Alabama, or Florida, Steph Curry, as much money he got, I'm sure he don't want to get into the SEC basketball debate and have to put his funds in that. But Dayton, they kind of like what Woe's doing right now.
Yeah.
We just talked. He's going to be able to handle St. Boniface and the people they compete with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think it's cool for mid-major levels, but I just think it will be hard. Now, Jim Tanner is actually Thad, John Morant, ex-agent, and a very smart guy. He did just take, you know.
Is he still going to be an agent?
I think when I talked to Thad the other day, this season is his. No, he can't, because I think, like, after this NBA season, because he's on the job now, but it still will affect next year roster, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think for the next few months he is.
Jani Broome. I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Jani Broome is the SEC Player of the Year. We got the postseason awards. Coach of the Year, finally, our guy Bruce Pearl gets some shine. They name him the Coach of the Year. Jani Broome, the Player of the Year. All right, Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk, right? The South Carolina guy that's like a borderline NBA guy. Did I say that correctly? He wins Scholar Athlete of the Year. Newcomer of the Year is Chaz Lanier. Freshman of the Year, Trey Johnson. Sixth Man of the Year is Caleb Grill from Missouri. Defensive Player of the Year is Zakai Ziegler. The first team is Jani Broome, Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida, Mark Sears from Bama, Wade Taylor IV from A&M, Zakai Ziegler from Tennessee. Look at that. First team that has five players on it. The West Coast Conference announced the first team with 10 players.
Ten?
Ten.
I've been seeing people do six. I didn't know. Like, you know, they've been up a little bit six, I thought.
10 is insane.
Six is acceptable. Yeah, you have like, your six man. But
the 10 was insane.
Come on.
The second team is Josh Hubbard from Mississippi State, Trey Johnson from Texas, Chaz Lanier from Tennessee, Colin Murray Boyles, Carolina, and Otega Owe from Kentucky. Third team, Chad Baker, Mazzara, Alex Condon, Jason Edwards, Mark Mitchell, and Sean Padula. The all-defensive team is Denver Jones from Auburn, Mashak, right? The Tennessee guy.
Mashak,
Tennessee. Cameron Matthews from Mississippi State. Anthony Robinson II from Missouri. Zakai Ziegler from Tennessee. The all-freshman team is Jeremiah Fears, the OU kid. Trey Johnson, Asa Newell from Georgia, Todd Pettiford from Auburn, and LeBaron Fillen from Bama.
Yeah. I'll
say, how many of those guys have you coached or played against?
Them, like, well, I played against them all, but them, like, 14th that guys in there. So, Josh Hubbard, all SEC, second team. He's a defensive player. Cameron Matthews, he right here from Olive Branch. LeBaron Fillen, all freshman, he played for him. So, I had, like, three, four guys. I thought Solomon Washington would have been on that defensive one, but I guess he's not. And then
I was reading the SEC press release, so I did not see him.
Okay, and then Maria usually, you know, be on a team two or three.
The all heart team is what he should be on.
Yeah. So for sure.
All right, let's take a quick break. Grizzlies back in action tonight. We'll discuss that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
ESPN. Coming up tonight, pregame will start at 6:30 as the Grizzlies will host the Phoenix Suns. Tip off with Eric at 7 p.m. Let's go over to the injury report. Heard we got Monty Morris, who's listed as a game-time decision for the Suns. Cody Martin, Bradley Beal are both listed as out. For the Grizzlies, Luke Kennard is listed as out, and the questionables are Vince Williams, Zach Edey, Brandon Clark. So you would hope Edey and Clark would play, because what is the front court without them? Is it Huff and Bagley? There's not a fun thought. Wanted to get your thoughts though on this, because following yesterday's game, Taylor Jenkins was very complimentary of obviously what Dez and Ja did, but he'd like to see a little bit more help. Also, Santi, I believe, is out. Did I mention Santi? I
think Santi's out.
Santi is out. He's out. Obviously, Jaren's out as well. But this is what Jenkins had to say. It's encouraging that those guys, Ja and Desmond, are rising to the challenge for sure. We definitely need other guys to make a few more plays, Jenkins stressed. Great creation from Des and Ja. I mean, 14 assists from those guys with their scoring ability, ability to get to the free throw line, rebounds, defensive activity. We just need more guys to play better. Here's the issue, though. How many guys can play better? Right? I mean, I think it's the thing is also interesting is Vince mentioned last week he's only feeling 80%. That I just kind of think, though, what is Vince going to get healthy during this season? I don't know. Like, he's coming back. At times I thought he's been active and made stuff happen. I think I'd prefer to see, like, if he's got the nights where he's not shooting it well, maybe cut it down to like six shots. But the one that's starting in Georgia, I'd be curious to know. How are you feeling about Jalen Wells right now? There were some low IQ plays last night.
Yeah, that's one of the tougher ones, because for a player who came in with as low of expectations,
correct,
you know, as he came in with. He started out very hot, has seemed to have plateaued a little bit, and I don't know. My thing is, we all have had the question up until this point in the season anyway, how much can we trust a rookie
right.
to not just play well as he has, but also develop at the same time into a more than valuable starting player late into a season, down the home stretch, into the playoffs. We're seeing a little bit of that lack of development while also trying to play well.
Well, and then I also wonder how much of it is this is the most basketball he's had to have ever played, right?
Oh, good point. True.
I mean, what most rookies, even if you play a lot in college, what, 40 games? Now you're at this many games. I also always wonder oftentimes, like, with rookies when the season goes on and the book gets out on you, is that where you hit a plateau? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm with you, George, in the sense that it's clearly been a massive hit, but there were also just some plays down the stretch where I was like, that's not like effort. That's not getting beat. That's just like bad basketball.
Yeah, like you say, low key, and like he was saying, it's almost a thing with him that has, because he did overperform so early, how we just gave him higher expectations because we have gotten accustomed, you know, because he was reliable for a long time. And now, and this always happens too, though, like when your stars come back.
Adjusting the roles.
Yeah, and it kind of make it tighter. Like, have y'all almost realized anybody who been killing on any team, when they go, they might be killing with the Wizards or whatever, but when they go play with the Lakers or LeBron, and they now you dependent on them, and like it's an expectation in the step. A lot of time guys come up smaller than they should.
Well, this is one of my big deals with Gigi. Has like a very cult, active, aggressive following online.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my whole thing about Gigi. It's like, obviously, there's plenty to get excited about, like length, athleticism, scoring. I put 0.0% stock into what he did last year. I don't think anyone took the Grizzlies seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole nother thing when the scouting report's out on you, and then all of a sudden, as you point out, you're now in high leverage situations with pressure. Like, I'm not saying that GG's points don't count.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am saying, like, in terms of whether or not I think he should be playing right now, like, I don't know. Like, it does seem like when he gets in there on defense that the defense drops. Is that entirely his fault? I have no idea. But, like, I'm 100% with you. Like, I do not care about putting up big numbers on bad teams.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you say, sports is unfair. Or everything in life is unfair. But it might not be GG's fault. I know I got players that I take out all the time. And they said, coach, I was playing good defense. I said, well, you might was. But every time you get in, our defense drops. So I don't know if it's your fault or maybe you spreading it to somebody else. Somebody spread it over to you. All I know is we go on more runs when you're out the game. And so maybe it could be one of them things that's messing GG up too. Because this is serious. Sometimes a player can get caught up and coming in at the wrong time. So,
yeah, it's like, and like how much of it is the guys around you? But then there's also like, I think sometimes guys can think they're playing good one-on-one defense, but they're hurting team defense, playing outside the system. Like, all right, well, maybe you had your guy, man, but you created more space and an easy look for someone else. Like, but to me, it's like with the amount of guys they got hurt, it's like I'm hoping GG steps up because there's opportunities there.
Yeah. I just thought about this with Wells because, you know, working as many games as I do throughout the season, having seen a lot of what goes on for Wells, especially starting out in games, how much of it could also be a confidence thing because he's starting to get a handful of those pretty, I would say, bad whistles when it comes to defending another team's best player because he's essentially face guarding the primary ball handler of the other team. And I've seen some awful calls against Wells, and every time he goes to the bench, he just looks like all of the energy is drained.
I think also, like, he's had some months where he hasn't shot the ball as well. And, like, I think that when you start, because, like, even last night he had something like we're halfway down and out. Like, when they just don't go in, like, I can see where that just snowballs on you and
Absolutely.
Just gets more and more frustrating.
100%.
All right, we ready to hit the music?
Yes, sir.
All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I'm going to go to CBS Sports Network's Tim Doyle, who was on the call last night, and between Nebraska-Omaha and something called the University of St. Thomas, which apparently was D3 a couple of years ago. As the point total was getting closer and closer to hitting the over, some people are out rooting for points. We know who you are, as there was a technical free throw shot. So, and that was a hat tip to the over. Want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.